Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
No, and there should be no volunteers in God's work, but those who are called by God, serving and serving as unto Him. We should never have to have ministry leaders going with their ministry. Well, here's our schedule. Here's who's supposed to be here, but I don't know if they're going to be here or not. This is the schedule, but I don't know if they're going to be here or not. Why? Because that's the norm. We don't know. We never know. They can call last minute. We don't know. That should never be the case. Did you know that when we minister, when we get involved in ministry and we minister, we're ministering in many directions?
There shouldn't be volunteers in the church. That's a strong statement, but in today's message, Pastor Troy will share with you about calling and purpose within the life of a Christian. The term volunteer implies that someone is freely giving of their time for something that they would not ordinarily do or not ordinarily be the most skilled or educated in. What if instead of volunteers, the church was filled with Christians who were confident in the calling and abilities that God gave them? The church would see change. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You know, kids hate bedtime. Putting them to bed is like a chore in and of itself. Go to bed. There's always something. I need a drink. And they time it perfectly, too. That's why, parents, you got to catch on to this. Get it all done beforehand. Because it's like, all right, you need your hug. Or they'll save that one for last, because that's the best one. So, I need water. Okay, get your water. I didn't brush my teeth. Oh, go brush your teeth. I need this, I need that. And finally, the last one, the last straw. I didn't get my hug. Well, how can I pass up on the hug? I got to go give them the hug. So you got to go, hey, 8 o'clock's bedtime. Everything must be done. If you want it, it must be before 8 o'clock or you don't get it. If the hug is really that important to you, you will think about it before 8 o'clock. If you think of it after 8 o'clock, it's an excuse. And so we have to discipline ourselves to discipline them. But guess what? Even as adults, we don't like bedtime either. God's trying to tuck us in. We got a long day tomorrow. I don't want to go to bed. I need to pray, Lord. I need my hug. I need to pray. I need spiritual water. We're doing the same thing, staying up past hours. I was up all night studying the scriptures so I could be here for God's children. But I slept through it. Sorry, I missed God's children. I was up all night studying. Wrong. We go to bed. We get up. We trust the Lord. We submit ourselves to Him. And we walk by faith. That's how our faith grows. Tired, not an excuse. And look what Jesus said. Jesus got tired. And yet Jesus said this, John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish the work." So Jesus said, look, what replenishes me is doing what I was sent to do, doing what I am called upon, sent to do. That's what fuels me. You know what? We marvel at missionaries who leave everything and go to a place where they won't find the comforts of home. We marvel at that. We think that's amazing. Or they go to a country, not only will they not find the comforts of home, but they go to a place where they may be persecuted, possibly killed for their faith. They go and they experience exhausting work. And we look at them, we marvel, and we go, wow, what would make someone want to do that? And I'll tell you what makes them want to do that. They have learned that their food, that which sustains them and inspires them and ignites them, causes them to thrive is to do the will of the one who said go. The one who said to do it. The church was established by Jesus, but never was intended to become a bless me club. Bless me, pastor. Bless me, ministers. Bless me, ministries. What's here for me? It was never intended. We, as the church, are supposed to be here for those who are coming looking for Christ. We have a job. We have been given a job by God, a calling. We're gifted and equipped. We are the light of the world. Some think, they look up to the pastor and they go, well, if the pastor doesn't show, church falls apart. Church doesn't happen. But you know what the pastor's thinking? I'll tell you what the pastor's thinking. The pastor's thinking, man, if that usher doesn't show up, man, we are going to have to move people around and it's not going to go well and the person's going to miss service. Or if that teacher doesn't show, they're going to have to do this and people aren't going to want to put their kids in children's ministry class and it'll seem like we don't know what we're doing because one person didn't show. That's what's going on in the church. That's what people are thinking. Every part is essential. Every part is important. No part is just, I don't have to show up. I'm just a volunteer. There are no, and there should be no volunteers in God's work. But those who are called by God, serving and serving as unto Him. We should never have to have ministry leaders going with their ministry. Well, here's our schedule. Here's who's supposed to be here, but I don't know if they're going to be here or not. This is the schedule, but I don't know if they're going to be here or not. Why? Because that's the norm. We don't know. We never know. They can call last minute. We don't know. That should never be the case. Did you know that when we minister, when we get involved in ministry and we minister, we're ministering in many directions? Let me just use the children's ministry as an example. You come in, you're a teacher in the children's ministry. As a teacher in the children's ministry, you're probably focused on the children. I'm called to teach the children. But did you know you're ministering also? You're ministering to the pastor? Because we want a vibrant, thriving, effective children's ministry. So you do your work to help push that agenda, that desire we have that comes from the heart of God. So there's a gift, there's preparation, so you're prepared. But you also show up, because in showing up, you're also ministering to the guy who's doing all the scheduling. The guy or girl who, when you say, can't make it, I know it's 5 minutes, but I'm tired, who has to go, oh my goodness, I'm in scramble mode. You're ministering to that person too. Not only are you ministering to that person, but you're also ministering to the parents who, when they go to take their kids in, they go in and they go, I'm going to take my kids. This is God's house. And they go and they go, where's the teacher? There's no teacher. The kids are just running. Where's the teacher? I'm not dropping my kids here. I'm not leaving my kids here. They don't have anybody in place. We're ministering to so many direct. That's just one teacher. It goes for every area of ministry in God's house, in service of the Lord. We're ministering in so many directions, we don't realize it. That's why we need to be faithful to the Lord. We've all been given gifts, equipped by God to serve in His kingdom, to build His kingdom. And the task, well, listen, I just said it, it's formidable. It's a big task. But we have the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 9 says, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? The next thing we want to consider about this true refreshment is that the heart is insensible. The heart can be a little tough, a little hardened. That's what makes the task so formidable, is dealing with hardened hearts that are in ruts and routines and don't prioritize the things of God and don't sense their need of the Lord. Jesus is speaking of spiritual water here to her, but she's taking it literally. It's understandable because of the term living water. The term living water to her meant this. The well water is stagnant water. It's not fresh. There's not a living source providing it. It's well water. But living water would be a river. You know, well water can go stagnant over time, just sitting there. You need to use it up. But living water, anytime you go to the river, it's fresh. That's living water. That's preferred. So she's arguing now with him, defending her well here, going, look, Jacob was our father. Jacob gave us this well. If Jacob had known about some living water, some river that was around here, he wouldn't have spent all his time digging this well. So are you smarter than him? Are you more significant than him? Where's your thing to dip from? You don't have anything. Where are we going to get this water from? And that's her argument. She's thinking physically. The Lord is thinking spiritually. See, she has a deep thirst that Jesus knows about, but that she is unaware of because she's preoccupied with her physical needs. She's preoccupied with the physical things. The things around her, the things that she wants to fix. Water here. Think about where she's at. She's coming out at the hottest time of the day to draw water, and no one else does that. She's taking care of herself is what she's doing. She doesn't want to go when everyone else would draw water because they're going to look down on her. They're going to snicker at her, talk about her, and she doesn't want to experience that. So she's adjusted her whole life to come at this time of the day, and she doesn't even realize it. Her life's a mess, and she doesn't realize it. She can't see it, but Jesus sees it. And if she had really known her scriptures, her Old Testament scriptures, she might have picked up on the hint, the suggestion that Jesus was giving. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, we read this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, what's interesting, I told you that this woman was from Samaria, and the Samaritans were descendants from the mixed race, Jews and other pagan nations, who were placed back in that land by the Assyrians. Well, when Jeremiah wrote that exact text, Jeremiah was in northern Israel speaking to the ones who were going to be overtaken. And so they would be overtaken and then put back into the land. This was a message that should have been something she listened to.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. She didn't really know her scriptures as well as she kind of leads on that she does. This woman serves as an example of the condition of every human heart, and that is, they're spiritually thirsty, but they don't realize it. They think something physical is what they need. We live in a world that's so busy taking care of themselves, so busy trying to satisfy what they think is this physical thirst for something on the outside, but it's not. And because the Lord's word gives an answer that seems too simplistic, they don't think that that'll work. That seems too easy. No, that's not what I need. I need these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, the simple answer from the Word of God Doesn't make sense. That can't work. And unfortunately, guys, even in the church, and I've done lots of counseling, the simple answer is very rarely ever heeded. Because it seems too simple. I'm going to continue in my regular path. I need someone to help fix me. The Word of God fixes it. Listen, trust it. It's small. It's easy. It's easy for you. But He will do a miraculous work in you. It's the Word of God. But the heart is insensible. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." In other words, this water won't just quench that person, but it will serve to quench others in the future as well. So let's consider this. The heart is insensible, but the Savior is capable. He is able. Jesus could be describing every earthly pursuit here. If you pursue these things, anything, whatever it is, you will thirst again. I've heard them all, it seems like. Some will say, "Oh, if I only had a husband or a wife." And then some are saying, "Oh, if I only had a different husband or a wife." Others will say, "If I only had more money." Well, let me tell you something. Those who drink from the well, they taste it, they go that direction, they try to fulfill the thirst. Guess what? They thirst again. They find that didn't really quench. So you will thirst if you try to pursue these worldly things. You know, when someone is stranded out at sea, they know not to drink seawater. We've all heard that's just salty water. You know, it's not good for you. But when someone has been out there for so long, they get so desperate. Do you know what they are tempted to do, and they often will do? Drink the water. They'll drink the seawater. And at first, it quenches. It's water. But what they don't realize is it's creating an even greater thirst, a greater sense of desperation in the body, and will ultimately kill that person faster than without it. It makes things worse. That's what it's like to turn to the world to quench what is a spiritual thirst. You may not recognize it as a spiritual thirst, but it is. And only the things of God. And it just creates more thirst. So what they need is living water. Verse 14, we read it. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So, as we already probably know, the Savior is capable. But what about me? What about us? Where do we fit in? Well, here's our job, or our job description in this living water business. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So a light. We're called to be a light. You know what a light does? It reveals. So by your life, the way you live, let's go back to the children's ministry example. You're showing up. You know, God uses people, sometimes the sickly, sometimes those who have every reason not to serve Him and yet they're faithful. And you would never know that they're going through these things because they're just so faithful. They're just so resilient in the Lord. And then you have others, they come in, and some behind the scenes, they know about this person. They're in awe of this person. And they're like, "Wow, man, this person leaves me with no excuse." But then you get the others like, "We were up a little late last night. I'm not going to make it this morning. I'm sorry, I got to sleep in, man. I'm tired. I will not be any good for the Lord this morning. Okay, thank you. Sorry." And then you go, compare that with this person. that light shines and it leaves us with no excuse. And there are those lights. The challenges that come our way are for us to push through so that our lights so shine before men that they see our good works and they glorify our Father in heaven. So we're called to be a light. It shows the way out of darkness. Darkness is, just quit. Just give in. Oh, I'm tired. Okay, yeah, just go back to bed. And never overcome. Never get built up in your strength. But it also says something here. Light that reveals, but it says that we're salt, the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It preserves, but salt actually creates a thirst. That's why they sell that buttery, salty popcorn, because they know once you spend $15 for that, you're going to have to spend another $5 for the small 4-ounce drink. Probably 2 or 3 of them at that point. Salt creates a thirst so that people will go, I need what you have. How did you get where you are? And then you can tell them. We can't just tell people what they need to do. We have to model it. We have to be the example. We are the light of the world. The city, it says, you don't light a lamp and hide it. You light a lamp and set it up. So people see it, they watch it. This is what we would call places of service, areas of ministry, trials that come that we persevere through. He sets it up. Look at this. Look. So that others can look and see and desire. So true refreshment. The need is universal. The task, formidable. It's a big task. But we are given the Holy Spirit of God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the task is really so formidable because the heart is insensible. It's tough to crack. But the Savior is capable. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, for those who believe, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We don't have that same excuse today. The Holy Spirit has now been given. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it says overflowing. You know what that means? It overflows into ministry toward others also. So through a life lived by faith, we can give the world a small taste of true refreshment. That's what God's called us to. So we need to persevere. We need to press through. We need to not make excuses. Tired is not an excuse. Because God has said, when you're weak, I am strong. Do you want to see the miraculous? And who else is going to do it? If not you, the one I've called and gifted and equipped. Guys, we have that kind of power. Do you want to see that kind of power lived out? And we can't give in to the excuses. You got to get rid of the other things, though. You got to get rid of the things that aren't from the Lord that we crowd our lives with. You got to push those things out because they will steal from you. They will drain you. And we've got to focus and prioritize what God wants us to prioritize. And we can do it.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty
and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your